Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5, the game online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and it is AFC Divisional Playoff time. Floyd Reese, put your pads on. Titans and Patriots tomorrow, and in fact, you are by far the most qualified person to talk about the Titans. You're the only football expert on the radio in Nashville in the afternoons. Now, you're the only person who knows really, you know, that really knows football from 2 to 6, period, on in the afternoons. You've got on Patriots sweatpants and a Titans fleece because, well, that's
gotta,
who you are.
Got to cover all your bases.
Got to cover all your bases. You can see that on my Instagram at TheJaredStillman. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Floyd Reese, I want to start with a history lesson. We got a huge show today, but I want to start with the history lesson. It was a big playoff game. Everybody was going to be watching. Prime time, almost the definition of prime time. You had one great Hall of Fame quarterback going up against a young, kind of unknown commodity. You had a team that everybody respected. You had a team that people didn't really know. And then you had a 2-touchdown spread. But instead of the 13.5 the Titans are getting, it was 14. I'm sure you don't know what game I'm talking about, but I'm talking about Super Bowl 36. And that was kind of the first great Tom Brady game. Now, we remember the Tuck Rule game. And that was a good Patriots win, but Brady didn't play particularly well. The biggest story of the Tuck Rule game was that Brady didn't fumble because of the rules. Mm-hmm. But the first big Brady win that brought him onto superstardom was Super Bowl 36. The great team, the Rams, that everybody knew and everybody was following, the huge favorite, the huge Kurt Warner, the great quarterback, everybody knew, the future Hall of Famer, and then Brady was kind of the unknown. Well, here you are in this game, and you've got Brady, the Hall of Fame quarterback. The Patriots are a double-digit favorite. Everybody's watching. No one's giving the Titans a chance. And I'm just looking at this ball game, and I'm thinking to myself, if the Titans somehow find a way to win, this might be the game that launches Marcus Mariota into superstardom, that gets people starting to talk about Marcus, to give him the respect. And there is a lot of respect to be had for Marcus in this football game against the Patriots, because you know as well as I do, Bill Belichick is probably going to make him beat the Patriots throwing the ball. And I think there's a lot on the line for Marcus in this football game against the Patriots. If the Titans are going to do it, they're going to need something special from Marcus, like the Patriots needed something special from Brady in that Super Bowl. And if Marcus does it, I think you're going to see people kind of turn the corner with their respect level and their belief level in Marcus Mariota.
Well, I think that's true for the entire team and for this franchise, really. I think if you're able to go out in a divisional game and beat, you know, the world champs and the odds-on favorite to win it again with a young team that you know, is really not complete, I would say that it would be, you know, a ton of praise heaped on literally everyone. And with Marcus as a quarterback, I mean, I'm sure he would get his share. I mean, this is going to be a, you know, something unique is going to have to happen somewhere along the line. We just don't know what it is yet.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was texting with somebody yesterday who is a Patriots fan, and I said, I think there's going to need to be two big game-altering plays in the Titans' favor, and then something's going to happen late in the game the Titans are going to have to do. So, like, you're going to have throw over the middle complete to Rex Burkhead, and Jonathan Cyprian or Avery Williamson blows him up. He fumbles the ball. Titans pick it up, run it into the end zone for a touchdown. You're going to need at least one of those. Like one of those kind of freaky, did that really happen type of plays. And then it's going to be one of those games, if the Titans are going to win, it's going to be one of those games where it's late and you're thinking to yourself, like, I don't know, they're going to have to. And then Henry's going to bust a big one and you're going to say, oh my God, the Titans are going to win this game. That is what it's going to have to be if the Titans win. Like, you're going to need a couple of those freak plays. I remember when the Patriots played the Ravens in the playoffs in the AFC title game and lost, and the big play was Brady was driving down, I think, to tie or take the lead, and Stephen Ridley catches a pass over the middle. Bernard Pollard knocks him out, and Ridley fumbles the football and the Ravens pick it up and run it into the end zone for a touchdown. You're going to need plays like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be a couple of plays there. But for Mariota's sake, the stats don't even matter in this game for him. If he goes out there and wins, if the Titans win, and this is where the whole, in my mind, judging quarterbacks is totally unfair in terms of wins and losses. If Mariota and the Titans win this game, everybody will think that Mariota has arrived. Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL this week was talking about that because I wondered in my head, if Marcus goes out there and goes toe-to-toe with Brady for four quarters and the Titans lose, I think Marcus is going to get a lot of respect. But then Ray Lewis brought the difference between going toe-to-toe and winning and what it means.
This is for Mariota, right? Yeah, two things you want to do. You can either be popular or you can be remembered. If you go into there and you have a shootout with Tom Brady and play a tough game, you may walk out popular. If you go in there and beat Tom Brady and do what nobody says you can do, you will forever be remembered.
So that was Ray Lewis. And I think in this case, it reminds me a lot of that Patriots-Rams Super Bowl where nobody thought the Patriots were going to win that game. I mean, you remember that. Did you think going into the Super Bowl the Patriots were going to beat the Rams?
Well, I think if I remember right, that was one of the few games that New England was, I think, an underdog by like 14 points.
14 points.
That's what we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, I think there's been like six or seven times that Patriots have been 14-point dogs, and then our favorites, and then there's that one time that you're a 14-point dog, and that's when they pull out, 17-14 or 17-13 or whatever it was.
As far as Marcus's career is concerned, let's say the Titans win this game, and let's just say, you know, if you were to go to fairy tale land and say Marcus ends up in the Hall of Fame, or Marcus eventually ascends to the big boy table, or Marcus becomes the next great one, whatever you want to say, this is a game that will be a part of that if they win. Like, if Marcus goes on to being one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL and they win this game, people will say this game is where Marcus became one of the great quarterbacks. A la, if you go back to Brady's career, this was kind of the game, that Super Bowl was kind of the game that kicked off Brady's star career. If you look at the stats in that game, Brady was Super Bowl MVP. Brady was 16 of 27 for 145.
Yeah. I mean, see, I remember that game because we talked about this last week. That was the game that they went into, you know, whatever it was, the greatest show on turf or whatever their nickname was. And that's the one where Bill emphasized the jam. We were talking about, you know, not 10 other things, just jam the receivers, jam the receivers. And they end up winning 17-13. That's what I remember that game for. Not that Tom didn't play bad. I mean, he certainly didn't. In fact, I think you said he was MVP.
Yeah, because he had the last drive where he threw all the checkdowns to Kevin Falk and then hit Troy Brown for one big pass, and they spiked it, and Vinatieri kicked a field goal.
So I think, you know, it'll all depend on how the game plays out. I don't think there's any doubt that if you come out of this with a win, that, I mean, there's going to be a ton of praise heaped on everybody. I mean, except probably Malarkey, but
oh, the fans will still hate Malarkey.
Everybody else will get a plus.
I think nationally, like, I think that would be a nice way to feel. You know, oh, everybody's going to get a share of the love if the Titans win. And if the Titans win, Marcus, everyone is going to be praising Marcus. They're going to be saying Marcus is the next stud. And it doesn't matter if Marcus is 16 to 27 for 145 and a touch.
Unless Henry runs for 200.
Even if Henry runs for 200, they'll still give Mariota the credit.
You think?
Quarterback always gets the love, always gets the blame. Marcus has been getting the blame all year. His receivers haven't run the right routes, and when they do, they don't catch the ball. But everyone blames Marcus. Quarterback gets the blame, quarterback gets the love. This a win tomorrow, Marcus Mariota shoots into superstardom.
I would say if Henry ran for 200 in this game, that he would be the Jerome Bettis, he would be the whatever name you want to throw out there as the premier running back in the league, even though we know he's, you know, probably not. But I think that would catapult him off the charts.
You know what would happen if Henry ran for 200?
What?
You'd hear on this show Monday every segment, "Let the big dog eat."
Let's hope for that.
You'd hear that every segment. So that's how we're starting the show today. 615-737-1025. Thoughts about Marcus against the Patriots? And would a win against the Patriots put him into superstar status? By the way, looking at the stats from those Super Bowl, from that Super Bowl, Brady's 16-27, 145. Kurt Warner, 28-44, 365. So Kurt Warner threw for 220 yards more than Brady. Brady was MVP. Brady's gone on to be a Super Bowl. A Super Bowl star, a superstar, whatever you want to call it. He's getting $15 million to do a movie on Facebook. So that tells you where Brady is now. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Speaking of Brady and speaking of Mariota, coming up next, what Brady had to say about Mariota and why it may be a bigger deal about what he didn't say about Mariota. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me tell you about Authentically American. That's right. For all you business owners out there, where are your employees and what they're wearing? Where is it made? I'm talking about clothes. And if you're like me, you're proud of that answer because mine are made in America by Authentically American. Authentically American is helping create jobs in this great nation, made in the USA. It's a veteran-owned company, passionate about creating U.S. jobs and making the best branded apparel you can find. If you're a business owner, you want a high-quality product that is made right here in the USA, and your employees will be proud to wear it, why not outfit them with Authentically American? That's right, high-quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxfords, vests, and much, much more. Made in the USA. Whether you have five employees or are a Fortune 500 company, Authentically American has you covered. They have low to no minimums, so the small business owner can support Made in the USA. When you order, Authentically American donates 10% of all sales to veteran charities. And a reminder, Authentically American's website is so American, it's authenticallyamerican.us. That's right, .us. It's so American, authenticallyamerican.us. Check them out today, business owners, for your employees. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
He's been the best. He's been the best for quite some time. And for a young guy like me, you know, that's what you aspire to be. That's what you want to do, is be consistently good and win consistently. So I think he's done an incredible job through his career of making plays and being that guy that they need. And hopefully through my time, I can do some of the same stuff.
Fireball.
Jared the GM and a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Marcus Mariota talking about Tom Brady. That was very respectful, was it not, GM Floyd Reese?
Oh, yeah. Marcus would be nothing other than respectful.
I thought it was very respectful what Marcus said there about Tom Brady. Marcus, by the way, has just been named Castrol Edge Clutch Performer for his game against the Chiefs. So there you go. Now, that was very respectful what Marcus said about Tom Brady. So then you have to wonder, well, what did Tom Brady say about Marcus? So I went back and I listened to Brady's press conference yesterday, the only press conference he does all week, and Brady was asked specifically about Marcus on three separate occasions. And I'll let you guys listen to what he said. This is the first question Brady was asked about Marcus.
You were nearly the same age as Marcus is going into a big game. What kind of advice would you have given yourself on the experience that you have? You know, he's a young quarterback, and this is the most gap in terms of experience.
Yeah. These are fun games to play in. So, you know, everyone has worked pretty hard to get to this point. Only eight teams playing this weekend. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're young or old. It's a great feeling to be in this place. So I know we're excited. We've had a good week. And, you know, just got to go out there and try to play our best.
Now, this was the second question that Tom Brady was asked yesterday about Marcus Mariota.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about that play that Mariota made where he caught his own pass?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, it's crazy plays like that. You know, things that you obviously wouldn't expect or – this time of year, you know, anything can happen, and any play can really decide the fate of the season. So everyone's got to be on the same page, and you got to make whatever effort you can to try to help your team move the ball down the field and score points.
So he's, again, not really talking about Marcus when they ask him about Marcus. This is the third and final question he was asked about Marcus Mariota.
Another question about Mariota. When you were in his shoes, you know, back in 01 when we play us, what I guess, what's it like for him? What's he going through being in his position? And what advice would you give him? But does age trump experience? Experience trump youth?
I think it just comes down to how well you play. At the end of the day, it's not like the old guys are going to win or the young guys are going to win or, you know, the home team or the road team. It's really going to come down to execution, and no one's going to be able to do it for you. You're out there. You're in the position to succeed. Your coaches have put a lot on you. You know, the team's really relying on you. You've got to go out there and make the plays. You got to make the tackles. You got to make the throws, the catches, the blocks, the runs, whatever it takes. So whoever does that better is going to win the game over the course of 60 minutes. And again, it's all these plays matter. So we've got to go out there and we got to make sure every one of them count.
So three questions he's asked about Mariota. Does not mention Marcus's name. Does not mention anything about him. Does not compliment him. Doesn't do anything. Does not even address Mariota. Doesn't even answer the questions directly. Why was Tom Brady avoiding talking about Marcus Mariota?
I have no clue. I mean, two of those questions were about him.
Right, but what would Tom. You say to Mariota that you would...
Yeah, I mean, they were asking him. You were in that position. What was it like for... I mean, they were to him. All those answers end up the same.
But and he didn't talk about Marcus at all.
No. If you ask any of the... I shouldn't say any of them. You ask a majority of those players a question, any kind of question, it's going to end up back with, well, we just got to go out there. We've been working our butts off, and we got to try our best, and hopefully things will work out. And, I mean, that's the way they all end, you know, when you're asked about anything.
I just think it's... I think it's disrespectful that he didn't... answer the questions about Marcus. He doesn't want to talk about Marcus. And I don't know if that means that he doesn't deem Marcus worthy for him to talk about him in his press conference, or if he thinks that, or he doesn't know enough about Marcus to talk about Marcus, or if he feels like he doesn't want to say anything good about Marcus to pump Marcus up. I don't know what it is, but to me it was obvious that every question about Marcus, he literally went out of his way to not answer it directly. I mean, even when they asked him about, you know, catching his own touchdown, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, games come down to big plays. Not like a, yeah, you know, that was a really great play. He's a great player. He's a good young player. And, you know, we're going to have our hands full with him, and we're going to have to play really well offensively, defensively, and special teams because he's a great – he didn't say any of that. I mean, why would Tom Brady literally, essentially, in my mind, go out of his way – to not talk about Marcus?
I have no clue.
It doesn't make any sense. There's got to be something there. And then there's one other part, and it's that whole story about Garoppolo and Belichick and him not liking Garoppolo, and maybe Brady just doesn't want any young quarterback to steal his thunder. And so talking about Marcus would kind of steal his thunder in that sense. I don't know. But I went back and I watched last night Brady's full press conference. 7 minutes. Asked three legitimate direct questions about Mariota, did not answer a single one about Marcus, did not mention Marcus's name. And then you hear Marcus talk about Tom Brady, and he's the best to ever play. I want to be like him. I want to make plays. He makes big plays, and we've got to go out there and make big plays. And Marcus was as respectful as you could be. And here's Tom Brady, and he won't even mention Marcus's name. He won't say anything Marcus does well. He won't even talk about Marcus. I don't get it. There's got to be some reason there that he didn't want to talk about Mariota. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's he doesn't know enough about him that he doesn't want to get up there and start talking about him and say something that might not be true because he doesn't know about him, because maybe Brady only studies defense. I don't know. But I just thought it was really interesting that he was asked a lot of questions about Mariota and he didn't say anything back about Marcus.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have no clue.
I mean, like, if I was a Titans, I'd say he's disrespecting you. Like, I would take that to Marcus, and I would say, he is disrespecting you. He is not giving you the credit that you deserve. And I saw that, and, you know, usually that's, those press conferences are just such fluff. It's usually just, you know, hey, what do you think? Oh, he's a great player. He's going to be so hard, and that's why we got to play our best, because he's so great, and he's awesome, and he...
Well,
and Brady didn't give any of that about Marcus.
I'm just going to guess part of it is, I don't know this, but after last week, I'm sure dealing with the press is not a real popular thing to do in New England. And so probably when you go into those press conferences, I mean, I heard a couple of Bills, and now I've heard a couple of Toms, and I mean, they are, nobody's given anything. There's nothing. It's the same old, it's like Bill used to tell him, you know what, you don't have to answer the question. They ask you a question, you don't like the question, you just give an answer you want.
But then wouldn't it be better for Brady to answer questions about Mariota so that he's not answering questions about that Wickersham piece or his Facebook movie?
Well, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't think that's their objective. I think their objective would be to not tell anybody anything. Not, you know, you're the press. What do you, if you're press?
But when they ask Belichick about Mariota, Belichick press, waxes poetically about
it. What would you write about that?
If he said that Mariota was a good quarterback?
No, what you just heard, what would your article consist of?
Oh, there is no article.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's what he did. I mean, that's exactly the way.
But
they
then, if
it.
You say something that's positive about Marcus, that makes the story about Marcus. So the article isn't speculation about whether or not you went to the owner to get Garoppolo traded, but it's really about your respect for Marcus. And I just think it's. I think there's a reason Brady went out of his way to not talk about Marcus. We'll take your call. 615-737-1025. That's on the table now. Chris is up next here on Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday live from the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Floyd, I have a question for you as far as the Titans preparing for this game.
Yes, sir.
If you look back at the when the Patriots played the Dolphins a couple of weeks back, you know, everybody obviously expected for the Dolphins to lose, but for some reason they won. Are the Titans maybe looking at that game, you know, number one, was that a fluke that they lost, just a bad day, or was there things that the Dolphins did to exploit certain things on the Patriots team that the Titans can be looking at, you know, to maybe help them out with this game coming up this weekend?
You know what's interesting is, of all the division foes, the Dolphins give them the most trouble. They'll sweep the rest of the division. They'll be fine. But it seems like with the Dolphins, they're always splitting. There's going to be a game. You know, the Miami will come up to New England and lose. New England will go down to Miami and lose. So, I mean, there's kind of a – they've got a little bit of a number on New England. But that being said, I think, yeah. I mean, I think you could look at that game, especially if you're a defensive coach. Dick LeBeau and those guys, I'm sure they're looking at what Miami did. Not necessarily because we can match it. I'm not sure that we can come up with the same type pass rush. We might have to do it a different way. But certainly how you play some of the other players, you know, would be a benefit.
Mike Mularkey was asked the question if there were any similarities in the three Patriots losses, and he just kind of brushed it off and didn't answer it. And I heard that. I thought, why would Mike answer that question? Hey, Mike, are there any similarities? And yeah, you know, the three teams did a great job of blitzing the outside backer and keeping the safeties. Why would Mike say what the similarities in their losses would be? Yeah. So that Belichick can go back and correct it? I mean, you know, now that I definitely get. We'll take more of your calls. 615-737-1025. Plus, Bill Polian might have given the Titans fans a little hope. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Is it a closer matchup than people think?
It is closer because the running game and the mobility of Marcus Mariota allows them to bleed clock, which keeps Tom Brady on the bench.
Bill Polian says it is a closer matchup on ESPN NFL Live. You heard right there. Bill Polian says it's a closer matchup than people think. Titans 13.5-point dogs tomorrow night in Foxborough. Floyd, I know you respect Bill Polian a lot more than you respect a lot of the other guys that are on TV, right?
Right.
Do you agree with Bill that it is closer than people are giving it credit for? Or is 13.5 points right? I mean, is the gap – I mean, I can't – there's one person in the national media who's picking the Titans. It's Maurice Jones-Drew, and he's only doing it because Deion Sanders goaded him into doing it. So, I mean – this, to me, I don't even feel like last year when the Patriots were technically bigger favorites against the Texans at home, I don't think that people thought that it was that lopsided last year like they say it is this year. Is it closer, like Bill Polian said, than people think? And is it for the reason that Bill Polian said that Mariota and Henry can drain clock?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think it is closer than what people think. I think part of it is the fact that that, in my opinion, we're going to be able to run the ball, which will eat up the clock, which will slow the game down, which is what we want to do, and keep Tom on the sideline. And I think the third part is, I mean, this is from an emotional focus. You know, how are you going to play a game kind of attitude? This game's probably pretty far apart. And I think that that's going to end up being a big advantage for the Titans. Now, will that be enough? I don't know.
What do you mean by that last part? Like, what do you mean?
I mean, I just think the way I'm just thinking about human nature. How are you going to approach this game? And I know what Bill's doing, and I know how he's selling it, and that's why, you know, you hear all these things that Bill says. What does he say?
Oh, they're great. They're incredible.
Mention every guy on the team, mention the equipment guys, mention the doctors, mention everybody, simply because he's, you know, he wants to get out there how good he thinks they are. Well, that's all, you know, part of the game. But I think the guys in the locker room, not that they're looking down on the Titans, but for them, this is not like playing Pittsburgh's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not like playing championship game or Super Bowl. This is a game that they have to win against a good opponent. But, you know, it's just, I can't imagine it's going to ring the same for them. And for us, it's just like we were talking about in the first segment. It's everything, you know. This is your whole season. This is a basis for your future. This is everything you can imagine in your football life. You know, boils down to a win like this, and you're on your way. And you don't, and it's not a bump in the road, but you're certainly not getting where you want to get.
Well, this will be a game that if the Titans go out there and pull it off, this will be a game that will be remembered by everybody probably for a long time. You know, like, we'll be talking about, hey, remember when the Titans, and it's not just us here in Nashville, but I think people around the country will say, yeah, well, I know Baltimore's a huge favorite this weekend, but I remember when the Titans went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots, and I think there's a lot of talk about that. I mean, I think it's closer than people think, because I don't think the Patriots players outside of Brady and Gronk, I don't think the Patriots players are as good as we're used to the Patriots players being. A Landon Roberts is not Chandler Jones.
Yeah, I mean, there's truth there, too, especially on the defensive front. I think the defensive front, you look at those guys, I mean, where you're used to having all of these big-time names. I'm talking about first-round draft choice, all-pro, Pro Bowl kind of guys, and, you know, Gerard Mayo and Hightower and on and on and on. All those guys are gone. All those guys are gone.
I mean, even Rob Ninkovich, who's been there for forever, he's
forever.
Gone now.
He's gone. So
it's a Landon Roberts, and it's Kyle Van Noy, and it's guys you never heard of.
Yeah. So it's a different, you know, if you were to list the top, I don't know how you would do it. The people that you consider Pro Bowl caliber guys or star caliber guys on the Patriots team 2 years ago. I mean, you might have in that defensive front 3 years ago, you might have eight guys, seven guys. You know, now you won't have any.
615-737-1025. So now that's out there too. Bill Polian says it's closer than people think. I respect Bill Polian. Floyd says that it's closer than people think, and I obviously respect Floyd. So the question is it really closer than people think? I mean, I still think in my mind there's a feeling that we see the Patriots do this a lot in the divisional round, a lot of 38-13 kind of games from the Patriots in the divisional round. And that's what I fear. This game is just going to be another one of those games. But now that's out there for the callers at 615-737-1025. Brian is up next on Brady and Marcus. Thank you for calling. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So earlier you were talking about Mariota being disrespected by Tom Brady. I'm a lifelong Patriots fan. I was born and raised in New England. I now live in California. I'm listening to you guys on the app. Every once in a while, especially before playoff games, I'll listen to the opposing team sports radio, see what they're talking about and whatever. And I don't know, it seems like you're making a big deal about Tom Brady disrespecting Mariota, which I totally understand from someone who doesn't listen to Tom Brady every week, you know. Every week it's the same thing. Like, this is not
so. You think next week before it's Pittsburgh, you think he's going to say the same things when asked about Roethlisberger?
Maybe.
Because you think he's going to not mention Ben's name in his press conference? Not answer a question about Ben directly?
Honestly, it wouldn't shock me. And it's the Patriot way. That's the way they do it. Like, Bill Belichick deflects every stupid question.
So why, when Bill Belichick's asked about the Titans, has Bill talked about all five corners, including Kalen Reed, who's been active for like three games this season?
Check this out, though. If you talk to Bill about football questions, he'll go into detail, like mind-numbing detail.
So then that's not the Patriot way that Brady's doing, like you're talking about.
He deflects questions. That's what they do. They deflect questions. If you ask about a specific player, you might get from Belichick, he's pretty good. But you start talking about, like, oh, what happened on this play? Did you like how they did all this stuff or whatever? He'll go into the X's and O's on stuff.
Okay, they asked Brady questions about, like, advice he would give to Mariota. Brady didn't answer it. I mean, I get what you're saying. I actually listen to a lot of Brady, and I appreciate your call. I get what you're saying, but you can't say that that's the Patriot way when Belichick's doing the exact opposite that Brady's doing. Brady asked about the Titans' defense yesterday. Brady did not mention a single person on defense. He had a 7-minute press conference. Brady did not mention one Titan player or coach by name. And I'm convinced that there's a reason for that. Because I think Brady, I mean, you talk about it. Bill Belichick is trying like crazy to make sure that the Patriots don't overlook the Titans, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's probably one of Belichick's biggest fears.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, that's what they spend all. That's why when you see it from Nick, you see it from if you've got a good football team and you're playing a team that may not be on the same level, you rip your team. You're down on your team. You're on their butt. Now, if you're playing a team that's better than you are, then you're the opposite. You know, you're very complimentary, very okay. We can get them, talk about attitude and all the things you got to talk about. So,
wasn't it like Mercer or somebody 2 years ago that Nick Saban went on a rant in the middle of his press conference and was like, and you guys all say these kind of questions and ask this, but you don't remember they came in here 5 years ago and they put 245 yards on us in the first quarter and that had six NFL defensive linemen on it and was better than this team. So y'all say what you want. Like, Saban went on one of those rants.
Yeah.
That's why Saban does it. I mean, that's my thing. And to the point, Belichick is going out of his way to compliment the Titans because Belichick's worried that they're overlooking Tennessee. And then there's Brady, asked about the defense, doesn't say anybody, doesn't know anybody, asked about Mariota directly, doesn't answer the questions, goes 7 minutes in which he doesn't mention a single Titans player or coach, not one single person. And before you call in and say things like, oh, well, I mean, you know, Brady always does that. I guarantee you next week if they play the Steelers before the AFC title game, he's not going to not talk about Ben Roethlisberger. And he's not going to say, well, you know, he's been really great for a long time, or he's a great player, or Ben. And, like, that's not – Brady's totally going to talk about Ben next week because Brady won't overlook the Steelers. I mean, I think that may be a huge advantage. I think there's probably some truth to it, that the team that I felt held themselves to the highest standard for not overlooking teams might actually overlook the Titans. Maybe there's something to that. So I want to get to that next. What are the odds that the Patriots are overlooking the Titans? Floyd, you've been with the Patriots. You've been through some agonizing playoff losses. Weren't you there when Mark Sanchez went in there and beat the Patriots?
No, I think I came the year after that. But I don't know. I don't know.
When Mark Sanchez went into Foxborough and beat the Patriots?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And a reminder, we will be getting you ready tomorrow, NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition, on a Saturday, live from Drake's in Cool Springs. That is Drake's in Cool Springs. So if you live in Cool Springs or you're around Cool Springs or you want somewhere to watch a game, come join us from 5 to 7 for NFL Football Sunday Playoff Edition on a Saturday. 5 to 7 live from Drake's out in Cool Springs. And, of course, the pregame show will have former Titans receiver Chris Sanders, the GM, and myself. We will be live out at Drake's in Cool Springs from 5 to 7, NFL football Sunday on a Saturday, playoff edition, brought to you by Drake's of Cool Springs, Tate Ornamental, and the Midtown Cork Dorks. Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
They're good at everything. They're very good in the kicking game. Got a great, great punter and a great kicker. Jackson's a dynamic returner. Got a good core of special teams players. Offensively, they run the ball well. Got two good running backs, and then I've got a quarterback that can run. Got a good group of explosive receivers, Walker's an outstanding tight end. Defensively, led the league in rushing basically the last 2 years. They don't give up big plays. They don't get penalized. They're sound. They don't make many mistakes. They're very well coached. Coach LeBeau's, you know, one of the great, great all-time coaches this sport has seen. Come out with a great playing career, I might add, but he's done a tremendous job, and that defense plays well. They play consistent. They're a tough football team. They can run the ball. They can stop the run. They play smart. They've been a lot of close games. They've won a lot of close games, and they've played under pressure at the end of the season, and they've responded well. So that's really what it's about, doing it when you have to do it, and they've been able to do that.
Bill Belichick on Sports Radio WEI in Boston talking about how good the Titans have been. And we kind of talked about that in the last segment. Belichick is going all in on talking about the Titans this week, about how great they are, because there's got to be some fear based on human nature that, well, the Patriots might be overlooking the Titans. I mean, ESPN gives the Patriots an 88% chance to win this game, which is the fourth highest percent chance they've had to win a game this year. So, like, they've played the Jets twice. I mean, they've played some really bad teams. And they're saying that those games they had less of a chance to win than this game that's a playoff game. And you know Belichick inside and out, and you know Belichick is probably worried about the Patriots overlooking the Titans. Do you think there's a chance the Patriots are overlooking the Titans? And if the Patriots are overlooking the Titans, what exactly does that mean for the game tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there'll be a chance that they'll overlook them. Now, will they play at 1,000%? You know, will it be like a Super Bowl game? Maybe not. But I don't think, I mean, you just heard Bill. You know, now that team that he was talking about so glowingly is a 14-point underdog to his team. So what would you be saying about his team? I mean, it's all part of the game. You know, I mean, it's a mind game for him. And this is why, generally speaking, you don't see New England go through all these ups and downs. You know, if they play 16 games, 14 or 15 of the 16 games are going to be played at about the same level. Now, scores will change up and down across the board. But, I mean, I think, generally speaking, his players will go out and play with a lot of consistency. And that's why he's worried about something like this. You know, he's worried about what ESPN, what all these people, you know, what they call noise.
The Nick Saban rat poison.
All the noise about, you know, how good we are and how bad they are. So,
what a company line answer. Do the Patriots still mail you checks or no? I don't think they'll come out and overlook the Titans. I mean, they may not. I don't know. But I think my thing is, if they do overlook the Titans, that means you have the opportunity to pop them early. You know, like, you have the opportunity to, I'm not saying to beat them early, but you have the opportunity to get up early and then kind of play with a lead. And that's where, like, if they do overlook you, they'll correct that by halftime. Like, at halftime of the game, they will fix that and they'll be fine.
Yeah, getting ahead early against this team isn't going to help you a lick.
Oh, I think it would.
Not a lick.
Because then you can run the ball.
And also gives Tom, he knows he's got a target. Exactly where he's got to get. The best chance you have of winning this game is to go just what you said yesterday. You go into 2 minutes, you've got a couple of timeouts, you've got to get a field goal or whatever it is to have a chance to win. You get Marcus, pulls the ball down, breaks contain, goes 40 yards, you're on the 15-yard line, you line up, kick the field goal, win. That's the way you're going to beat this team.
That's how Carolina beat them in, I think, like week 4 or something like that.
Whatever. But
that's what Carolina did. What the Dolphins did. Now, I think the Dolphins game is tough to kind of judge from because Gronk didn't play, but Cutler hit some passes early and Brady threw some picks early and Miami got ahead and then they pressured Brady the rest of the game. You don't have the players on defense the Dolphins have. And quite frankly, Gronk didn't play, so that changes. I can't use that Dolphins game as a blueprint.
No, but I would say this. And I'm not wishing ill on anybody, but if Gronk was unable to play for half the game, three quarters of the game, I mean, you'll see more of what we saw last week. I mean, their whole thing changes, you know, because he's probably more valuable to New England than Kelce was to Kansas City. So if he were not in the game for whatever reason, I mean, it's harder. It's much harder on Tom.
But unlike Orson Charles, who Kansas City had to put in the game, they can put in Martellus Bennett. So I like Martellus. I get what you're saying. I mean, I think Brady's going to throw to the running backs a lot in this game. To me, the matchup's not so much Gronk. I mean, they'll have a favorable matchup with Gronk, but I've got to believe Dick LeBeau is going to go out of his way to take Gronk away from winning this game in the red zone or when they get down there. So I worry more about the running backs and Brady throwing to those guys out of the backfield. But, I mean, you're right. If Gronk were to get hurt, I think it definitely would help the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
At least a little bit. Like last year, when the Patriots played the Texans, and the Texans were a 9-7 team that by default got to the divisional round of the playoffs because Oakland's two quarterbacks got hurt, and they faced a rookie. And the Patriots played the Texans. I don't think the Patriots came out to play in that game. It was 17-13 at the half, and Brady was throwing interceptions, and they were making all kinds of mistakes. You know, the Patriots fumble the ball on a kickoff return, and two plays later, Brock Osweiler throws a touchdown pass, and now it's 14-13 New England. Like that is them not getting up. But then in the second half, they go in and correct it. They win the game 34-16. Like, that's what I worry about, is even if the Patriots are overlooking you, does it really matter? Because at halftime, they'll get it corrected. They'll get it fixed. That's why I feel like in this game, if you're the Titans, if they're going to make mistakes, you got to get out. If they overlook you, you got to get out 14-0. You know, have a good first drive, score, get a turnover, score, 14-0. Now, everybody in Foxborough is holding on to their butts, and there's at least a little nervousness going on there. But, and then you got to have that one freak play. There's got to be one freak play tomorrow. I don't know what it's going to be, but just one freak gimme gift. You can't believe it. Like, Brady goes to pass. He steps up in the pocket. A rack post strips him from behind. Ball's loose. Woodyard picks it up and runs into the end zone. That is the freak play I'm talking about. You got to have at least one of those freak plays tomorrow, preferably late. If you don't get a freak play like that, I don't think you can win.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'd just soon go into halftime 0-0.
Well, that's not going to happen.
I'd just soon go into fourth quarter 0-0.
Well, that's definitely not going
to happen. Or 6-3, or 6-6, or 14-14. Whatever, just close. Give me close. Because what you don't want to have happen is you don't want them to get all fired up and, you know, him decide he's going to put 35 on you. Because God knows it may happen.
Is that what you think happened in that game last year against the Texans? When it was 14-13 at one point in the second half?
Yeah.
Pardon me, the second quarter. And then it was 17-13 at the half?
Yeah.
And then Brady comes out and they win 34-16. Brady in that game, 18-38, 287, two touchdowns, two picks. I mean, the real story was Brock Osweiler threw three picks.
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, I just assumed if we could be ahead and Tom not screw up at all and, you know, them seem like they're doing okay at halftime, that's fine. But we know that's not going to happen. I mean, for us to be ahead by 14 or whatever it was you said, he's going to have to screw up something. And when he screws up something like that and he goes in at halftime, they have a chance to get it fixed, then it gets real, real hard.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jared and the GM coming up next. What would a win mean for the Titans franchise? Mike Mularkey was asked that yesterday. We've got his response. And what do we think it means for the Titans franchise? It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025, The Game.